Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
To get to where they're going in India, so no short trip for sure. And they probably arrived late last night, so we need to continue to pray for them, as well as Brother Vaughn, who is there, going to be there for the next few weeks. Next week we'll be treated to having JD speak to us as far as preaching on Sunday morning, and I'll be looking forward to that. And tonight I'll get to speak to you again, and we'll be on our one word topic of love this evening. Appropriately, with Valentine's Day happening this week, we'll be talking about love tonight. Our theme for 2017 is increase, as you see on our banners on the, flanking the auditorium here, and we're focusing on a particular area of increasing something in our Christian lives. And this February's focus is focusing on increasing our knowledge. Sometimes you can know something, but yet have no idea what it means until it actually happens. I think you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you can have all the knowledge about a certain subject, but experience teaches you something else when it actually happens. I want to give you two examples from my personal life this morning. There's a book written by Thomas E. Ricks in 1994 called Making the Corps. It's all about making Marines, making the United States Marine Corps. Ricks was a reporter that followed three recruits at Marine Corps recruit training around Parris Island, South Carolina, all the way from recruitment all the way to the end of training and then even beyond a little bit. And Marine Corps recruit training is the toughest training that the U.S. government will allow. They will acknowledge that exists. There's Navy SEAL training. There's CIA special ops training. There's all these things that the U.S. government doesn't necessarily tell anybody about. But they will acknowledge that the Marine Corps basic training is the hardest training that they have and will allow. Everything in Marine Corps basic training is designed to erase or tear down the identity of the person to build them back up in the image of the Marine Corps. The book was incredibly detailed and well done. He goes all the way through the entire process of making this Marine for 13 weeks. He followed these would-be Marines through the initiation process, through the physical, through the emotional demands, and the training that Marine Corps recruit training put someone through. This book was incredibly detailed and well done, and before heading to recruit training myself in 2000, I read it twice. It didn't help very much. I really thought it would. I really thought, you see, I knew exactly what to expect. Sometimes on a week-by-week, a day-by-day, even an hour-by-hour basis, I knew exactly what to expect. I knew exactly what was going to happen and what kind of phrases they were going to use, what kind of terminology was going to be used, how they were going to try to break me down and build me back up in the image of the Marine Corps. I knew all of that. But again, it didn't help at all. Because knowing about it and actually having it happen and doing it was two totally different things. I compare and contrast that situation 17 years ago to my current situation in my life. Back then I thought to myself, I said, you know, the Marines will be the hardest thing that I'll ever do. It'll be the hardest thing I'll ever do. Never will I ever be challenged like this. And then I became a parent. I read books about parenting too. I sought advice from other parents. I sought advice from my grandparents. Talked to my own parents about how they dealt with things that I did when I was a child. And they all told me the same thing. Every bit of advice almost had this connotation in it. You won't know what it truly means until it actually happens to you. Never has there been a bigger truth in my life. This morning I want to talk briefly to you about a few minutes about knowing and doing, about seeking the knowledge of God every day. And more importantly, most importantly, putting that knowledge that we have to work. When we talk about increasing our knowledge as it pertains to our Christian lives, what does that mean? Maybe the most knowledgeable person I've ever known about the Bible was Ralph Gilmore. He's been here a couple of times and spoken, and he said that phrase on the screen there. I took two classes of Dr. Gilmore's in college, and I made an incredibly hard-earned B+ in those classes. And I consider myself lucky at the time to have gotten out of there alive. But now I know that I sat at the feet of one of the most knowledgeable people of Scripture that I will ever encounter. Dr. Gilmore didn't have just book sense, he had common sense too. Sometimes when you get a brilliant person like that, they have zero common sense. Well, he had both in the same package. You get all the book smarts and raw knowledge, but no common sense, and that was not true of Dr. Gilmore. And I remember one day in class, we were arguing. We did that quite often in our Bible classes. We were arguing and talking about a certain subject of Scripture, and this kid was quoting Scripture to Dr. Gilmore as if he didn't already know 10 different connotations of that particular Scripture. And he was trying to talk to him as if he knew what he was talking about. And Brother Gilmore said this. He said, "Well," and you'll ever know by Dr. Gilmore's "well" how long it is, how scathing a rebuke it's going to be. And he said, "Well, brother, all this knowledge is fine and dandy to talk about until you actually have to use it." And I think about that quite often. We may have the knowledge. We may have the correct interpretations of Scripture and how it affects our daily lives. We may know Scripture inside and out, and we may know the details of Greek and Hebrew terms. And we may all know these things, but until it affects our daily lives, until this book starts governing our lives, what does it matter? Does the Bible govern your life, or does it sometimes govern some of your life? And talking about our topic this month is knowledge just enough. Is knowing Scripture the same thing as living it out? This morning I want to give you a few points just by putting our knowledge to work and letting our actions do the talking. Number one, know that knowledge is half the battle. Knowing is half the battle. If you're a child of the 80s, like me, you grew up in the 80s, the old public service announcement from the G.I. Joe cartoon was, "Now you know," and knowing is half the battle. They would always tell kids about a certain thing. Don't run out in the street. Don't put a fork in an electrical socket and whatnot. And they'd say, "And now you know knowledge," and knowing is half the battle. Our biblical foundation is half the battle when we're talking about our spiritual lives in Christ Jesus. When we have a solid foundation, unless we have that solid foundation, we won't be able to stand firm. My father used to wake me up early on Saturdays when I was a kid, and he would drag me out on the job with him to build outdoor decks, much like the one in the picture that you see here. And most times when we were starting this job, we would spend half the day, maybe perhaps even an entire Saturday, just getting the foundation down. He had an excellent post hole digger that was called Chad's Two Arms. And so I dug the post holes, and he would measure, and he would get the chalk tape out, and we would do all these other things, and we would spend hours just doing it. It was incredibly boring for a 12-year-old kid. But we got the foundation down before we could even start on the work of building the deck. Our biblical foundation of knowledge has to be firm before we can put our knowledge into action. For the last 10 weeks, in the Wednesday evening auditorium class, we've been studying about Bible study. We've been examining what we can do to more effectively study the Bible. And I have been saying over and over again that if you're a Bible student, then you're a theologian. Theology is not just for Bible professors. It's not just for ministers. It's not just for any kind of other technical scholar or anything like that. It's for all Christians. And as students of the Word, we should be doing the hard work to be theologians of the Word, to understand and have the knowledge of what that means and what everything means in Scripture for us. Having a sound base of theology is a great foundation for the knowledge of Scripture. No general would go into a major battle without first knowing and having knowledge about the enemy forces. And in the same way, we cannot go to battle against the forces of Satan without a firm foundation on his Word. For the second point this morning, I want to back up just a few minutes and talk about this and have a really stern rebuke here from the book of Hosea. Let's turn to the book of Hosea. We don't often turn to the book of Hosea, but I want to turn there and read from chapter 4. And I want to read the first 6 verses here. Lack of knowledge can destroy us. Lack of knowledge can hurt us. Simply not knowing what we need to know could be detrimental to our spiritual lives. It's a pretty harsh tone with what it says right there. Lack of knowledge can destroy us, but that's exactly what it says in Hosea chapter 4. Let's read Hosea chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, there is lying, there is murder, there is stealing, there is committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish, and all the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet let no one contend, and no one accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Harsh words from the Lord here in the book of Hosea. The context of this passage found in Hosea was spoken almost 3,000 years ago. However, it reflects a very simple principle that's just as applicable today as it was back then. And that is, people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because they have rejected the knowledge that God has made available freely to them through His Word. In this instance in Hosea, it was the leaders. It was the priests who had led the people of Israel astray. They had perverted the law of God, and under their false teaching, Israel is quite literally perishing because of their lack of knowledge. And what was to blame for all of this? Well, many scholars believe that there was a few reasons that this happened. Number one, it was a great deal of paganism, which was a worship from the surrounding culture, was a worship of worldly things from the surrounding culture. They were being influenced by outside forces and being told to turn away from God. It was a radical undermining or a gradual erosion of the authority of God's law. And the last one, it was a relaxing take on the standards of holiness that God required. Does this sound familiar to you? To me, this sounds a lot like the ways that our world tries to point us today. We worship stuff. We worship ourselves or this world when we ought to worship God. The Word of God has become so gradually eroded in meaning in our culture that it has been deemed irrelevant. It's been deemed mysticism. And sometimes we're guilty of relaxing the standards of Christianity so that everyone is included and that no one is offended. You see, people in Hosea's time, 3,000 years ago, they had the same problems that we do. It's just wrapped up in a different box. So how do we fight against this? Well, there's many ways, but the first is to have the right mindset of knowledge behind us. To have that firm foundation under us. If we reject the knowledge of God, just like in Hosea's time, we will be rejected by God Himself. If we choose to follow men, if we choose to follow a minister or a politician or fill in the blank of whoever, if we choose to follow men rather than God, then God will reject us. If we choose to ignore parts of the Bible because they make us uncomfortable, or they challenge us in ways that we may not like, God will reject us. It is only when we embrace the knowledge of God that He will embrace us. To our last point, knowledge is truly half the battle. And without that knowledge, our faith could be destroyed. And when we know and when we grow in the knowledge of God and His Word, and when we embrace it fully and reject the ways of this world, we're halfway there. Half the battle for us is already won. And so what's the other half of that battle? It's number three there up on the screen. Put your knowledge into action. Oddly enough, this final point may seem like it's complex. It may seem like it's very difficult to do. But it's actually very, very simple. To put our knowledge into action, to truly know God and increase our knowledge of Him, we must simply have a relationship with Him. More specifically, we should have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus' own words that Caleb read from John chapter 17, verse 3, he says, and this is eternal life in verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I want to connect what we've been talking about to the illustration at the beginning of the sermon. It's one thing to have knowledge, even a complete and intimate knowledge of something. And then it's another thing to put that knowledge to the test. It's another thing to put that knowledge into action. It's another thing to experience that and have to use that knowledge. That's what we must do every single day. Harsh reality is that, like in Hosea's time, we have a choice to make. You have a choice to make this morning. You reject God and in turn the knowledge of His Word and be rejected by Him and suffer the fate of hell. Or we follow God and embrace the knowledge of His Word and live eternally with Him. Knowing God is knowing His Son. Knowing Him is half the battle. And if we truly know God and the knowledge of His Word, we're going to strive and we're going to seek a relationship with Him. I do have good news this morning. Following God puts us in the best possible situation for having eternal life. Nothing else in this world will put us in that situation but following God. I want you to turn very briefly to Acts 17, and then the message will be yours this morning. Acts chapter 17 is one of my favorite chapters of the entire Bible. And Paul addresses the men of Athens starting in verse 22. And these were educated, enlightened, intelligent men and women, just like we all are here today. And what Paul said 2,000 years ago can, I think, have a dramatic impact on the way that we should strive and seek a relationship with God. Let's read just beginning in verse 22 and we'll go down to verse 27. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way that you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us." I think about my little David. All 3 foot 6 inches of him, stretching out to me to pick him up, stretching as much as he can, standing on his tiptoes, outstretched, because at that moment there is nothing more important to him than being in Daddy's arms. And if we could just have a fraction of that passion, of that mindset, to seek the knowledge of God and to seek and to strive for Him and stretch towards a relationship with Him, to feel out for Him, we would realize that He is so much closer than we would ever believe. The good news this morning is that God is here. He is not far away. And He is ready to have a relationship with you. And if we acquire this knowledge of God, if we know what the Bible says, there is no way in this world that we can think that we don't need a relationship with Him. This morning, Jesus is waiting for you. You have the knowledge, you have the choice in your hands. Increasing in our knowledge should naturally lead us to a closer relationship with Jesus. And sometimes that leads us through valleys. Sometimes that leads us over mountaintops. But if you seek Him, you will find Him. This morning, if you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, if you need to stand up here and you need to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we can wash your sins away in baptism," we can do that for you this morning. If you need to be restored, if you need to come forward and you need prayers on your behalf, publicly or privately, we can come, we can pray for you, you can talk to our elders here out this left door, you can go into the conference room and you can talk to them if you need to do that this morning. Public or privately, why don't you come this morning? Don't wait, while we stand and while we sing.